The attack on journalists. He encouraged his supporters to ridicule, to harass journalists, and to also influence them not to follow or believe in what news organizations were saying, especially those that were critical against his administration. In fact, Pierre Nadada, a Marshall McLuhan fellow, came here, was banned from covering the presidential palace because of their critical reportage on his presidency. And as we know, their CEO, Maria Ressa, who won the Nobel Prize, was one of those vigorously attacked by Duterte's administration and his supporters, and even now is still facing criminal trump up criminal charges. So we have that in media environment there. But fortunately, our colleagues in the Philippines have always fought back ever since, even during the martial law years under the Marcos Sr., the father of the current president. So it's always, we always tell the public that journalism and press freedom is a right, not of journalists themselves, but it's the right of the public to know. And when journalism is stifled, when the credibility of media is consciously being attacked and demolished, it is not actually just the journalist that is the target, but the right of the people to be informed. So that it is an advocacy that the public should be involved to, and it is in the interest of the community to have a vibrant and active journalism background and media in their community. Yeah.
Thanks for that. That's really, really interesting. And in listening to your answer, hearing you talk about the president tell the media to, or telling his supporters to attack the media and labeling media as false or not relevant and banning certain critical news outlets from official state media events. It sounds very familiar to what's going on in the States right now with the Trump administration, obviously, and even here at home in Canada with, calls to defund the CBC or other things like that. What, with the evidence of seeing it elsewhere so clearly, what can we do to avoid that ourselves? Like, what is the best way to get people to sort of on board with this idea of the importance of a free press at home?
Well, in our experience, always first journalists should organize themselves. That is the key, that while we may be a competitive industry, right? There is competition. We are maybe small, but we are competitive. But in terms of press freedom, there's no debate. We should be united. That's how, in the experience in the Philippines, that any attack or harassment against a journalist or any news organization should be treated as attack against all. Because if we budge just 1 inch, then the attacks will continue. That's our lessons, I think, which is applicable worldwide. Like the NUJP is part of the International Federation of Journalists, so we also unite with other with colleagues in other countries, especially facing similar circumstances. I think second also is that the public will, the community will turn to trust, will learn to trust us or keep on trusting us, and they will learn to love us and even protect us and even fight for us if they feel we are relevant to their lives. So how can we be relevant to their lives? How can we be relevant to the community if we report on their issues, if we report on their concerns? So that's why journalists should, I think, which is applicable anywhere, should really go to the community and ask the people their needs, their problems, and their issues, as what Rachel has mentioned earlier, and report on this instead of us telling them only what they should know, but also what do they really need in the community and what voices need to be heard out so that they can feel that we speak for them and that they can feel that we are really relevant to their lives. I think those are the two more most important things based on my experience and based also on what I'm seeing here. Yeah, thanks.
What do you think of Marshall McLuhan's ideas being discussed? Because people, you know, when I mentioned his name and said there was going to be something, so many people had not heard his name during the era of when every company, every year, was having him speak at conferences, share his ideas. I'm excited that you have this person that's traveling around, but do you think you could that there are ways, both through people who have television, radio, telephone, of seeding his name and what he did? Because I don't think people know the importance or the relevance to how there were some shifts in education. There were shifts in a number of things based on the ideas he put forward. And getting a lot of media time where the Ed Sullivan, well, shows, some of the shows that were on that were popular music, dance, etc. They were having him on because his expressions of things, you know, from medium is whether it's medium is the message or medium is the massage. He was very much out in amongst the people. So I'm just wondering, I heard what you said about going out and asking people, but if you wore something or have something, I think just going back and looking at some of the ideas, looking at some of the ways that his ideas got woven into the fabric of times, seeing if there are ways that you can wave them into conversations that you have with people at grocery stores or wherever people go. People get their food ordered now. But watching to see what's going on, because I got excited by what you said was going to be going on last week, and there probably will be other people, you know, if they see something on a poster, if they see something at their neighborhood store, if the Megaphone people, if they see articles in the headlines. But what do you think about raising people's consciousness of who Marshall McLuhan was and his ideas and why they might be still relevant today?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's that still being taught in schools, especially in journalism and communication programs. I assume because Marshall McLuhan is a communications icon, so I assume that his teachings, his thoughts are being taught in schools. But even the public, I believe, is unaware who Marshall McLuhan even is, especially in the Philippines. Well, the Marshall McLuhan Fellow is a flagship program of the Canadian Embassy in the Philippines to award outstanding journalists, Filipino journalists. But generally, he's not known. His teachings are not known by the public, and it's more confined to journalists and especially those who are under journalism and communication programs. So I think this is an opportunity also to really popularize, if not educate, the public, especially here in Canada. I mean, what Maki mentioned earlier, the challenging times everywhere. Even just, I'm sure you're aware, recently, as we discussed earlier, former President Duterte, he was arrested just 2 days ago. So it's big news. I think it's not just news for the Philippines, but internationally, because he's the first Asian former president to be tried in the ICC, International Criminal Court. So even reporting of this has been closely monitored elsewhere on how the media is reporting on this, especially because he is a very controversial leader who was responsible for human rights violations that we have not seen before, even in our country.
I wanted to. Sorry, did I cut someone off with someone?
Sorry, I just wanted to add to the proliferating the message or the work of McLuhan. I wanted to attest to like how I met a young person who actually went to our event just merely because they saw a poster of the McLuhan event. So it truly just comes down to like having the community uphold his legacy and also doing all the outreach and towards that. It basically is just re-educating like the younger generation or just reminding people of the generation of his works and the importance of journalism. But yeah, I also do agree with Nestor regarding the current coverage of the recent arrest of President Duterte and how we as like, at least for my perspective in the youth, how fast news can fly by and the youth sometimes will just miss all of it. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly important for, at least for organizations like ANAPBAIN, to really keep the Filipino diaspora in loop regarding, you know, the human rights violations, the crimes that Duterte has done against our relatives back home.
Yeah, I think that's such a key struggle to keep things in the news, right? Or to keep these sort of news items in the conversation longer than the 30 seconds or, you know, 30 minutes they might get in the constant social media loop where, you know, you see it and then it's gone and you're on to the next thing. And I wonder this, I guess, sort of any of you can answer this, but Nestor mentioned obviously the arrest of former President Duterte, and I don't know if the question is just like what does that mean to each of you, but I think what I guess it is like what does that mean in terms of moving forward with protecting democracy, protecting the independence of media, like what sort of message do you think that sends, and where do we go from here?
I think for not just speaking for myself and my organization, but all of the organizations here and all the organizations in the Philippines, I think it means a lot to us that Duterte is finally, being arrested, not to say that justice has been served. I think Marcos Jr. Has been kind of delaying and shielding Duterte for a little bit to avoid the International Criminal Court, as well as, we're all aware of in our organizations that Marcos will most likely use this to his political advantage. So it's, I think for us also staying kind of relevant is, you know, making sure that we're putting pressure from, you know, also the international community and the Filipino community here on the Philippine government to really, serve justice for all of the victims of whether it be the war on drugs, whether it be the ways in which we continuing the visiting forces agreement and allowing, you know, U.S. Foreign military to stay in the Philippines and having huge impacts on violence against women and children, and also allowing impunity for U.S. soldiers. There was a very big case in the Philippines of a trans woman who was murdered by a U.S. Marine, and basically under Duterte's regime, allowing him to be pardoned, which is, not uncommon in the Philippines. So I think it's also really showing, the Filipino community here that we have not forgotten what happened under Duterte's regime, and that the comments he made about women, about, telling soldiers to shoot women mm-hmm. in their vagina, or encouraging people to, rape women, that won't be forgotten. And we will be there and be vigilant and remain vigilant to make sure that justice is served for all of the victims of his basically bloody regime.
Yeah, I just add for Jazz, it's a very welcome development for us. It's been long overdue because, as I said earlier, the term of Duterte was among the worst. Also, for journalists, I check our records. 22 journalists, Filipino journalists, were murdered under his regime. That was from 2016 to 2022. We're not saying that he is actually responsible for killing them, but that's the climate of impunity and hostility against journalists that he encouraged and promoted are certainly among the factors why this happened. Just to cite some specific examples, aside from of course what he did to Maria Ressa and then banning our journalists from coverage, there was one incident that really shocked us, even if we think we've seen it all. During a press conference, the president, the highest official of our country, catcalled a female journalist. He just whistled at the female journalist, and that was shocking. And that's the picture of how his supporters, rabid supporters, really took on that cue. And also how they treat the journalists. The term prostitutes was so common during that time when they attacked journalists, especially women journalists in the covering doing critical reportage. So in terms of that, this is a very welcome development for journalists in the Philippines. And because of the culture of impunity, having a tyrant tried and convicted is sometimes an illusion for many Filipinos, but this is the first time that there's a chance. We're not saying that he would be jailed. There's a trial for that, but many Filipinos would say, at least President Duterte is being afforded due process, which was not afforded to tens of thousands of victims, suspected drug users who were just shot at random in streets. It's a nightmare, and it's one of the darkest chapters in the Philippine history. And we hope his arrest and prosecution and possible conviction would put a closure to that. It will take many years for us to recover from the damage that he has brought, the lives he has destroyed, the families that were broken. But this is a significant step for us, and of course, a very welcome one for many Filipinos. Thanks.
Yeah, I also just wanted to add to both Maki and Nestor's sentiment. This is not just only for the youth, but particularly for youth organizers and youth organizations. It is long overdue, the Duterte's arrest. Particularly, not only did he specifically target journalists or just anyone who was a suspected drug user, but he used the war on drugs to target youth organizers and youth activists. So many youth activists were murdered. They were forcibly disappeared. They were imprisoned with trumped up charges, the creation of anti-people policies, such as the NTF ALCAC, continues to target youth organizers and youth journalists and et cetera in the Philippines at this moment. So having him being arrested by the International Criminal Court is an incredible win for Filipino youth and justice for all the victims who suffered under the war on drugs. It's the euphoria, honestly, hearing his arrest is unmatched. Many youth organizers remember all the martyrs, the youth organizers who died under such a dark time. So I think even here in the Filipino diaspora, so many Filipino organizers and youth organizers here are elated to hear finally justice is served.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's nice to have a piece of hope in these times, right? I think we are nearing the end of the program here. So I think we're gonna leave to some music by Miguel Maravilla, who is a local Filipino-Canadian artist. He's got an album out called The Makers of History, which is dedicated to the ongoing struggle for the liberation of the Philippines. And all proceeds from that album are going to Anakbayan, Canada. So.
Want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media? You are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
We'll leave there, and I will thank you all for joining.
And I will thank you for joining. I thank and salute your intention to go out and organize the community, not just the Filipino community, but to help people of all communities where you see some of these signs of erosion of democracy, erosion of freedom, to strategize together, to talk together. And so thank you so much for spending the time today. And as we say, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, we aim to let people who are organizers, people who are producing music, give them an opportunity to have it aired. You know that music has been one of the things that's united campaigns like anti-war, anti-poverty globally. So we have our station has that opportunity available to producers and musicians. Don't talk about how hard it is to get on the air. Come to our station, and we'll show you how we care. I'm Charlotte Farrell, host of the Sulauau Show, S-U-L-U-A-U, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. We record on midweek, but you will hear it at 10 a.m. every Friday a.m. And when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers, poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery, time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time.